Hey guys, it's Erin Andrews from Calm Down with Erin and Carissa. So they say you can't plan for the unexpected, but whoever said that obviously didn't know about Aflac. You probably know the Aflac Duck, but you might not know what Aflac can do for you. For example, did you know they pay cash that can help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover? If you get sick or injured, Aflac pays cash that can be put towards copays and deductibles to even non-medical expenses like rent or your mortgage payments. It's completely up to you. Get help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover. Visit aflac.com to learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. ExxonMobil, net zero, green innovation. I welcome Vijay Vaitheeswaran, the energy and green innovation editor for The Economist magazine, to report on new revelations from ExxonMobil, big oil itself, approaching the future with plans to achieve net zero or come close to it in a unique fashion, quite different from what we hear from, say, the European big oil of BP and Shell. Vijay, this is your teaching that net zero is the goal often mentioned at Glasgow and everywhere in boardrooms. I want to start with a definition of net zero that is useful when we come to ExxonMobil's innovations. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Great to be with you. So it's very popular now among CEOs of big companies to claim that they're going to take climate change very seriously and commit their companies to something called net zero. And usually they'll use a target date like 2050, way off in the future after the current CEO has retired to a gilded sort of life, to make this kind of a promise. And they often won't tell you how the company's going to get there. Those are all signs that I look for when I look for greenwashing, that is, bogus green promises that sound good for now and maybe keep investors happy and activists happy, but don't mean a whole lot in practice. So that's the filter, especially when it comes to oil companies, because by their nature, burning oil, of course, creates lots of greenhouse gases. So when an oil company tells you they're going to go net zero to deal with climate change, you really have to ask some tough questions, it seems to me.
We come to an address by Darren Woods, leading ExxonMobil, for how he plans and how the company plans to achieve net zero. I note, as in I learned from The Economist, reminding me when we talked about this first, ExxonMobil's board is undergoing a transformation in this last year. Three green-like directors have joined the board, so Darren Woods is obliged to respond to those directors. The first thing I learn, of course, is that Darren Woods does not plan to invest heavily in renewables. He has other plans to cut down emissions and to hold his 30 division chiefs accountable. What will that look like to your expectation, Vijay?
Well, you're quite right to point out the question about renewables. A lot of European oil companies who have been under heavy, heavy pressure because European investors and society tends to be much greener than Americans. So they have embraced renewable energy. Companies like BP, Total, and Shell are going much more heavily into windmills and solar and so on to try to reduce the carbon intensity of their portfolios. And they're selling off oil assets as well to do that. The American oil companies, led by Exxon, have refused to do that. That's not the path they want. They don't think they should be in the renewable energy business, which tends to be a low margin business compared to oil and gas. What they're promising to do, and in the case of Exxon, it has laid out a very specific and detailed case for doing, is to cut the emissions coming from their own operations and then invest in innovative new technologies like clean hydrogen, carbon capture and sequestration, and advanced biofuels. So we could talk about each of those, the cuts at home, as well as the investments in new innovation. But it's a very different kind of approach than the Europeans, who are relying a lot on renewable energy.
I want to concentrate on the shale phenomena now, because that's a big part of ExxonMobil's production. What does cutting back on emissions in the basin where they explore, where they use fracking for natural gas and also their oil wells. What does cutting back emissions look like? I note that if they could do this now, why haven't they done it before? It's a puzzle.
Oh, yeah, but it's a puzzle that's really easy to solve, like a jigsaw puzzle with four pieces. They were not required to, John, and so they didn't do it. It costs money. And why do anything, even if it's good for the environment, if it's not required by regulation? I mean, maybe I'm a little bit cynical, but that's really what's happened. If you look at the shale patch in America, the emissions of, in particular, methane. Now, methane is the main component of natural gas, and it's a very potent greenhouse gas, more powerful in the short term than even carbon dioxide. We've done had a massive amount of release of methane, of flaring from these wells that they developed. And this is something that the Biden EPA, the government in Washington, is going to introduce new rules to crack down on. So rules are coming. There's a global methane pledge that the U.S. and European countries and others have gotten the big oil companies to sign on to reduce practices like leaky compressors and leaking pipelines, as well as venting and flaring of methane. So there's a lot of sort of low-hanging fruit that could be grabbed with a little bit of investment. And if you think about it, the product is actually valuable. So leaking it and venting it into the atmosphere means you're giving away something that you could earn money for. So analysts think that they could actually make the money back by getting the natural gas to market. They just had no incentive to put in the equipment or to fix the compressors or upgrade it to modern equipment. And so now there is an incentive. And Exxon has committed that by 2030, which is actually pretty soon when you think of a capital intensive industry, they will go net zero in the main shale gas regions of the U.S. With their productions, which is a fairly strong commitment.
You note that Mr. Woods in the past has remarked about this plan as a beauty competition. In other words, people coming forward with their carbon reduction, also using carbon credits, beauty competition. Has that term been retired? Has that opinion been retired in big oil that this is now necessary, no longer vanity?
Well, yeah, you're quite right. He's been very dismissive of companies making net zero claims. Exxon has never done it until very recently. I personally would call it an ugly competition because I think it's terrible. It's just hideous to make promises of things like net zero and actually not mean it, the case with many companies. They have no idea how they're going to achieve those targets, and I think that's ugly. But in the case of Exxon, he's done a U-turn. He's actually accepted that they're going to try to get to net zero for the entire company globally by 2050. And for one part of America where a lot of its operations are, the Permian Basin, where the shale operations are, that they're going to get there by 2030. The difference now, how he justifies it is, rather than just making a claim, they've actually unrolled a roadmap for getting there. There's more than 30 different operating divisions of Exxon that are going to have targets, hard targets that the managers will be accountable for achieving those cuts. And these are absolute cuts in greenhouse gas emissions they have to achieve within their divisions. And among the things they can do, for example, swapping out the use of dirty fuels with renewable energy, for example, to power compressors or other equipment. That's one example. Or putting in more efficient equipment that uses less energy. So they actually want to reduce the emissions coming from their own operations rather than counting on some magical solutions.
Did Mr. Woods indicate how much carbon offsets would help him achieve this goal?
I did speak with Exxon CEO and several of the key executives involved with this plan, and I pressed them on that because the use of things like carbon offsets is often a loophole. When companies use a lot of these offsets, what that means is they don't want to make the difficult cuts in their own operations. And what they're putting on the record is that at most a few percentage points worth of their promise to get to net zero will be achieved by offsets. And they're not going to buy offsets from faraway countries that may or may not be of good quality. They're going to do offsets in the local region. That is, for example, in the America Shale Patch, the Permian, the net zero goal will invest in nature sinks, for example. It might be trees or other agricultural-based sinks in the Permian itself, so they can validate it and control it, as opposed to buying it on the internet for a couple of bucks from some shady operator.
In order to pay for this, ExxonMobil is indicating it's looking to government, state government, federal government. They're looking for subsidies.
Well, this was the most interesting thing about Exxon's announcement. Their investments in hydrogen and carbon capture and sequestration, advanced biofuels, are very promising, but they're not economic. We don't have good business models around these technologies because they're nascent. They're not cost competitive. And so Exxon put on the record officially that they expect governments to provide some form of support. It could be subsidies, tax credits, California has something called the Renewable Portfolio Standard and low carbon fuels subsidies and standards. So these are all different ways of basically providing taxpayer money or support or advantage in the marketplace for some of these new kinds of low carbon technologies. And so Exxon, which has typically been the Texan spirit of rugged individualism and argued against government intervention, just like many in the American oil industry, they now accepted a basic truth that if you want big oil to make big profits during decarbonization, you're going to need big government.
And the three members of the board who are, as The Economist reports, green-tinted, are they satisfied, or is there still more to be done in their opinion? We have 30 seconds.
Now, John, you should know you can never satisfy environmentalists, right? So, of course, they're not satisfied, nor are the climate activist groups and others who are following this. And Exxon's plan was incomplete. It doesn't take account at all of the emissions of when we consume their products, which is 80 to 90% of the greenhouse gases of oil. It's not digging it out of the ground. It's when you and I burn it in our SUVs.
Vijay Vijayaswaran is the energy and green innovation editor for The Economist magazine, reporting on big oil itself, ExxonMobil, and its plans for net zero. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.